بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، we are continuing inshallah in our tafsir of Surah Yusuf alayhi salam, and we have reached the place where Yusuf alayhi salam has entered the prison after the women of the city, after the women, the minister's wives and the leading women had all plotted to seduce him, and he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeking their help, and he said, Ya Allah, I prefer the sijin or the prison over that which they are calling me to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they placed him in sijin, in the prison for a few years. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَدَخَلَ مَعَهُ سِجْنَ فَتَيَانَ, and that along with him, two other people, two other youths entered the prison. And يعني, some of the ulama of tafsir say one of them, both of them used to work in the palace. One of them was the bread maker of the king, and the other one was the wine maker, the one who used to drink, make the drinks of the king. قَالَ أَحَدُهُمَا, one of them said, إني أراني أعصر خمرا, I see myself making wine. In other words, making a juice out of wine. And in fact, it should be making juice out of grapes, right? Because that's what you make juice out of. But to show you the extent or the final result of the grapes will be wine, it is as if he is being more eloquent in saying, I'm making juice out of wine. Even though you make juice out of grapes to get the wine, but because he said, I'm making juice out of wine, you know the final result of what he will do automatically. وقال الآخر, the other one said, that I saw myself in a dream, أحمل فوق رأسي خبزا, I am carrying above my head some bread, تأكل الطير منه, the birds are eating from this bread, نبئنا بتأويله, inform us of the interpretation of this, إنا نراك من المحسنين, verily we see you to be amongst those who practice إحسان, who do good, who are kind to other people. Over here in this verse, we find that طبعاً Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed these two people two dreams, which they knew were from signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, they went and asked the person whom they thought was the most knowledgeable and the best of them. And this is the point of benefit here, is that when a person sees a dream which he feels is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he should go to someone more knowledgeable than him. He should go to someone of piety, of taqwa, someone who is known for his fear of Allah and knowledge of Allah, knowledge of Allah's religion, and get the dream interpreted from him. The second point of benefit is that look at Yusuf alayhi salam. Here he is, wrongfully imprisoned, having done no harm, nor any dhulm. Yet while he is in the prison, he establishes a good reputation. The other prisoners of evil conduct, they are testifying that we see you amongst those who do good. And some of the people say that while he was in prison, he would visit the sick. He would give his food to people who were more needing of it than he was. He would be gentle to everyone. And even the prison guards liked him. Some of the ulama of tafsir, they say these type of statements based on the fact that even the prisoners testified to Yusuf's character. Even though he had only been in prison a very short period of time as of yet, yet in this short period of time, his optimism and his cheerfulness and his kindness to everyone in the prison had earned him the respect of the prisoners, and that is why they said, we see you amongst those who are good, who practice ihsan. So he said, قَالَ لَا يَأْتِيكُمَا طَعَامٌ تُرْزَقَانِهِ, he said, food will not come to you, that which you eat of, إِلَّا نَبَّأْتُكُمَا بِتَأْوِيلِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتِيكُمَا, except that I would have already informed you of the interpretation of this dream before it comes to you. طيب. So now Yusuf عليه السلام, he is telling them, I will tell you of the interpretation of your dreams before a certain period of time. For example, if their food would have been served at 8 o'clock, let's suppose, okay, and whatever time it was, he said, before the food comes to you, you will know the interpretation of your dreams. Why did he say this? Because Yusuf alayhi salam used this opportunity to give da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And had he started calling them to Allah without interpreting the dreams, they will not be paying attention to him. Because they're psychologically, they want to find out why they came to Yusuf. They didn't come to Yusuf for da'wah. They came to him to find out the interpretation of their dreams. So Yusuf alayhi salam, and this is very good benefits from this in da'wah, good da'wi benefits from this next few verses. He told them, I will tell you of the interpretation before the food comes to you. Maybe another half hour, 1 hour. Before the food comes, you will know. So their hearts have now been set at ease. Okay, we will find out. And they will be more open and more paying attention to what Yusuf is about to say now. So he first assures them that don't worry, you will find out before the food comes. Whatever time was the well-known time for their dinner coming to them or their lunch or whatever it was, he said, before it comes to you, you will of a surety know the interpretation of your dreams. And then, and this is the beauty of this, and this is also the advice and we give to all of the du'at, whatever situation you are in, without exception, when a person comes to you, you can immediately change it into da'wah to tawheed, into calling to tawheed. Now look, these two people came asking for the interpretation of dreams. And look how Yusuf very subtly, very beautifully, turned it all around and started talking about tawheed. He says, ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. This, meaning what? The interpretation of these two dreams. This is what my Lord has taught me. Right there you bring in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the picture. This knowledge that you're seeking from me, I don't have it for myself. I didn't invent it, nor did I study it without any help from anyone else. Rather, it is a pure blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. So he changes the whole picture, the whole table, from the interpretation of dreams, he connects it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, any situation of da'wah, any time we are here, and a person comes to us for any information or any type of knowledge that we want, and even if he comes talking about Islam, but a certain part of Islam, like for example, how come you Muslims treat women this way, how come you allow slavery, whatever it is, with a little bit of wisdom and a little bit of understanding of Islam, you can easily change it back into tawheed, which is the basis of our religion. And look how Yusuf alayhi salam changes the interpretation of dreams into tawheed. This is what my Lord has taught me. Okay? So now he is affirming for them that he believes in the Lord, and that this Lord is the one that teaches him everything he knows. ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي إِنِّي تَرَكْتُ مِلَّةَ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Verily I have left the way of the people who do not believe in Allah. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. And they deny the hereafter. So right now, he is saying that I have left the people. Most likely he's referring to the people of Egypt, that the ulama say he's referring to the people of Egypt, that I have left the people. In other words, I am not upon the religion of these people. Now you can imagine that not everybody in the prison, that, especially those that did not know Yusuf, they would not know that he is upon another religion than them. That's the only religion they know. The religion of the idol worship that was prevalent in Egypt. Okay? So, right now he informs them that I am different from you. I am not like you people. I have left the millah, the way of life, of a group of people who do not believe in Allah. And they also deny the hereafter. So by negating the fact that he is from these people, he is in fact affirming his own belief in Allah and his own belief in the hereafter, without explicitly mentioning it. By negating the fact, I am not of those people. And who are these people? Who deny Allah and who deny the hereafter. They do not believe in Allah and do not believe in the hereafter. Therefore, immediately the inference is that I believe in Allah and I believe in the hereafter. Also, the inference comes from this is that ذَلِكُمَ مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. This is what my Lord has taught me. Why? How come I know this knowledge? Because I believe in Allah and the hereafter. This is another yet subtle inference here. That how come? How did I get this knowledge of the interpretation of dreams? He says, ذَلِكُمَ مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. Why did Allah teach me this? Because I left the millah, or the way of those who do not believe in Allah, and those who do not believe in the Day of Judgment. So because I believe in Allah, and because I believe in the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me with this knowledge. So he makes da'wah to them. He calls them, firstly, using his own hal, his own situation. That my situation is, you have praised me. They came to him praising him that you are min al-muhsineen, you are of those that have good. So firstly he mentions to them, or he hints to them, why am I like this? Why am I different from you? Why am I so kind and so generous and so hospitable and everything? Why is it that even the prisoners are testifying to my good akhlaq? Because I believe in Allah. I believe in the Day of Judgment. And he also uses the knowledge that he has, the knowledge of interpretation of dreams, to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he changes it around and he says, you will find out the interpretation of your dreams, but realize that this knowledge is not coming from me. This knowledge is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore you too should believe in the source that this knowledge is coming from. So the reason that he can interpret dreams is because of his iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib, this also shows you that it is obligatory to give da'wah at all times and places, whenever possible. And look at Yusuf alayhi salam in this prison. he has been wrongfully imprisoned. And he has been thrown into يعني, a cell, locked up, getting very little food, very little water. And it's, you know, he's not free to do anything. Instead of complaining to Allah, instead of getting angry, instead of you know living the life of a person isolated from the rest of the world, no. There is still a prison there that he can give da'wah to. So he uses that opportunity to open the floor for da'wah. And this shows you, subhanAllah, if Yusuf can give da'wah locked up in jail, then how about us walking on the streets of this Darul Kufr? How much da'wah can we give? And yet we are too shy or too embarrassed or whatever our reasons might be that we're not giving da'wah. So this shows you the obligatory nature of giving da'wah to Allah. This also shows you one of the points of benefit is our primary da'wah, our main da'wah is always to tawheed, to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to anything else. Everything else about Islam is secondary. So when we give da'wah, we should jump right into tawheed. We shouldn't, beat around the bush, as they say, or go around other topics. We should jump right into tawheed. Because our primary da'wah and the importance of Islam, the gist of Islam, is tawheed. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, that you are about to come to a people of the book, the Jews and the Christians in Yemen, so let the first thing that you call them to be an yuwahidu Allah ta'ala, that they make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one. In other words, that they believe in tawheed. And here is Yusuf implementing that as well, that the first thing he calls to is tawheed. Also, this shows you that the alim and the student of knowledge, right, he should have his priorities correct. In other words, a person is coming to you, like these two people came to Yusuf, and you see he's asking about a certain situation. You see from his situation that he is in, that he is more in need of another knowledge which he is not asking you about. So instead of just telling him what he needs to know, you should tell him that which he also needs to know, and then move on to what he has asked you about. So here are the two people coming to Yusuf, the two prisoners. They're asking about the interpretation of dreams. Yusuf knows that they're mushriks. It is a part of the wisdom of the alim, the wisdom of the student of knowledge, the wisdom of the da'i, that he teaches them that which is more important, even if they don't want to know it. They didn't come to them asking about tawheed. They came to him asking about their dreams. But Yusuf saw that they are more in need of something, which is the knowledge of tawheed and the belief in Allah, than they are of their interpretation of dreams. So the wise alim and the da'i and the student of knowledge, he gives the person who asks him that which he needs to know in priority. And likewise, any person comes to you, okay? And this is so common, subhanAllah, I mean, especially if you're semi-practicing or practicing, a person will come to you and ask a question which is really very trivial. He goes, well, I found a pen on the street, can I take it or not? And you know the brother's not even practicing, he's not even praying five times a day. Okay? So, instead of just answering the question immediately, rather you should give him some nasiha as well. It's like, wallahi, alhamdulillah, this shows very good that you are so concerned about, you know, whether this halal or haram to take something found on the street or not. But realize that, for example, the prayer is far more important than this. And this is a sign of goodness in you that you care about this. And I know, therefore, that you care about the prayer. The point is that whatever the situation of the brother is, if he is in need of something more than what he has come to you for, give him that as well. And this is a part of the wisdom of the da'i and the student knowledge. And we see it here in Yusuf alayhi salam as well. He then goes on, وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِي. I have followed the religion and the way of my forefathers. So he has negated the millah of the people of Egypt. The question arises, which millah was he upon then? You're not upon the millah of my country, of my society. What millah are you upon then? He then affirms to them, he points out which millah he is upon. I am upon the millah of my forefathers, Ibrahim and Ishaq and Ya'qub. Tayyib, in these two simple phrases here, he has affirmed the three basic fundamentals of our aqidah, which is, Tawheed, Risalah, and Akhirah. Tawheed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the concept of prophethood, and the concept of the Akhirah. Look at the verse before and the verse in here. He says, I have left the way of a people who do not believe in Allah, i.e. I believe in Allah. Right? And they do not believe in the hereafter, i.e. I believe in the hereafter. And I follow the way of Ibrahim, Ishaq, and Ya'qub, and all of them were prophets of Allah. So I believe in Allah, I believe in the hereafter, and I believe in the prophets of Allah. So he mentions Tawheed and Risala and Akhirah. And this, as we know, these are the three fundamentals of our Aqidah and our religion of Islam. Tayyib, so he's told them that he doesn't believe in their way of life, rather he has another way of life. What is this way of life? He then goes on and he says, مَا كَانَ لَنَا. It is not befitting for us, it is not proper for us, أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, that we associate partners with Allah, anything. It is not proper, nor is it befitting, that we associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the millah that I am upon. I worship Allah alone without associating any partners with Him. ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلِيْنَا This is of the blessings of Allah upon us. وَعَلَى النَّاسِ And upon all of mankind. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ Rather most of mankind are not thankful. So he is mentioning the blessings of Allah upon them by guiding them to Tawheed. And this is the greatest blessing that anybody can be given. That is why he says, ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلِيْنَا This is of the pure blessings of Allah upon us, that He has guided us to Tawheed. And he also says, this is the blessings upon mankind. In other words, that the evidences of Tawheed have been given to mankind. But most of mankind, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ Most of mankind are not thankful in that they don't take from these evidences and they don't believe in Tawheed. So the blessings of Allah are there for those who wish to take them. The blessings of Islam, the blessings of Tawheed, the blessings of Iman. But most of mankind are not thankful of those blessings. They see those blessings, but they don't appreciate how important they are. Therefore, they reject these blessings and they do not follow Tawheed. They do not believe in the Akhirah, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another point to benefit from this verse is that he is affirming that the religion of all of the prophets is one and the same. He says, I follow the religion of my forefathers, Ibrahim and Ishaq and Yaqub. And then he says, we, ma kana lana, all of us, because he too is a prophet, don't forget. It is not befitting any of us. So by mentioning all of these prophets, he is affirming the concept that is also central to our aqidah, that the religion of all of the prophets, the aqidah of all of the prophets was one. And the only difference between them were minor details of the sharia. And even those minor details, not even major details, the concept of salah was pretty much given to all ummas. The concept of fasting, the concept of zakah. But the general concept was there, but the specific details of each one varied from culture, from prophet to prophet. So he is affirming that the religion of all of the prophets is one. And this is clearly mentioned in the Quran, that we have not sent any messenger except that نُوحِ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا that we have inspired him that there is no God except me, so worship me. So the message of all of the prophets was Tawheed, and he too is affirming this over here. Yet another point to benefit from this verse is that Yusuf alayhi salam gives thanks to Allah and he admits where these blessings come from, and this is also a part of our iman. Whenever anything good happens, we always attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he says ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلِيْنَا This is of the blessings of Allah upon us. So this is the way of the believer. Anything good happens to him, he admits and he attributes this good to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, realizing that this good was not because of him. This good was not earned by him. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with that good. Another interpretation of ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا that this is of the blessings of Allah upon us. Some ulama say that the blessings here are the blessings of prophethood, that they have been made prophets. ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا Allah has blessed us to be prophets. وَعَلَى النَّاسِ And upon mankind, that He has sent us to you. He has sent the prophets to you. So again, there's no contradiction between these two interpretations. The second interpretation is that the first phrase, ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا is a reference to the prophethood of Ibrahim and Ishaq and Yaqub and Yusuf. وَعَلَى النَّاسِ That all of these prophets have been sent to various people amongst mankind. So this is the blessings of Allah upon them because they're prophets. And the blessings of Allah upon mankind because the prophets were sent to them. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَشْكُرُونَ But most of mankind do not give thanks. In other words, they do not believe in these prophets and they reject these prophets. Then he moves on, Ya صَاحِبَي السِّجْن O my companions of the prison. Now look here, the beauty of how he addresses them. He doesn't say, you filthy criminals. Okay, he doesn't make fun of them. Rather, he calls them by the most noble title that could possibly be given in this situation. And he is making himself one of them. O my two companions of the prison. Yes, I am also in the prison like you. And this is the way of the da'i as well. He opens the heart of the one he's giving da'wah to, by reminding them that he is in the prison with them, even though he is not guilty. It just makes your heart soft. As you know, you meet someone that is similar to you. For example, you're in a strange country and you meet someone from your society or your culture, automatically there's a bond right there because there's something similar. Someone who speaks your language, there's like a bond. Immediately your heart opens up. Here Yusuf alayhi salam is saying, SubhanAllah, he's sacrificing his own ego because he was in prison without any reason in order to spread the da'wah. And then he also calls them, O my two companions, even though these two were criminals, but to open up the da'wah, to open up their hearts, to receive the Tawheed, he calls them, Ya Sahibay Sijin,
And how are these two criminals, mushriks, equivalent to a prophet of Allah? But look at how he addresses them with nobility and kindness to open up their hearts and to make it soft for the da'wah. Oh, my two companions of the prison, ya sahibay sijin, a'arbabun mutafarriquna khayr. Now he is asking them gently, very gently and sweetly, are many gods better? Amillah, or one Allah, al-wahid, the single, the one, al-qahhar, the one who is irresistible, in that his will always be over other people's will. He will conquer whatever he wants, al-qahhar, the conqueror, the irresistible, however you want to translate it. So he is giving them an example. What is better, to have many gods or to have one Allah who is al-wahid, the unique, the one, there are no other partners that he has, and who is qahhar, who is all-powerful? And then he moves on, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِهِ, that you do not worship besides him, إِلَّا أَسْمَاءً, except names, سَمَّيْتُمُوهَا أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاؤُكُمْ, you have named them and your fathers before you have named them. In other words, these names have no reality. The names of these idols don't mean anything. You are the ones that have transformed them into gods. These gods do not exist. They are merely names that you call out, you and your forefathers before you. مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِن سُلْطَانٍ, Allah has not revealed any evidence for this. So he's reminding them that the one who created you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has not told you to do this. And this is, again, very important, very beautiful da'wah, especially in our times. You know, the people, if you give them da'wah, to many of them, they follow something called perennialism, which means that they believe all paths lead to one goal. No matter which path you follow, you're a Christian, you're a Jew, you're a Hindu, whatever you are, you're a Muslim, we all believe in different religions, but our goal is all the same. Okay? The way you can get around this very easily is that, well, we all believe in the same God, but this God has not given you permission. He has not given you the permission to follow any other path. مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. If you're saying that the goal is all one, the ultimate God, right? Then why don't you look at what this God, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has told you to do? He has not revealed, He has not told you that you are allowed to follow any other religions. Rather, He has said clearly, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ إِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلْيُقْبَلَ مِنْ, whoever desires other than Islam a way of life, it will not be accepted of him. So he goes back once again to another aspect of Tawheed, that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right to tell you what to do and what not to do. Okay? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this right, and He has not given you the right to worship other than Him. مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بِهَا مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ, verily the command only belongs to Allah. Only Allah has the right to tell you what to do and what not to do. أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. طيب, He's told them what Allah has told them not to do. Allah has not told you to worship other than Him. So what has Allah told you to do? أَمَرَ, He has commanded you, أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ, that you only worship Him alone. You worship none except Him. So Allah has prohibited you from shirk, and He has commanded you to tawheed. Once again, look, the whole theme of His da'wah is tawheed. And this really is a stark reminder to all of us that this is what we give da'wah to. We don't call primarily to any other aspect of Islam. We don't call, to, you know, what has happened is, like, there's a lot of du'at, they have forgotten all about tawheed, and they're calling to secondary aspects. Oh, look at how the economic system of Islam is. Look at how justly Islam treats women. Look at how this, look at how that. All of this might be correct, and we're not saying that it's wrong. But the primary da'wah, I'm saying use this as secondary, that's fine. But the primary da'wah should always be to tawheed. The main emphasis should always be to the oneness of Allah, to the names and attributes of Allah. Right now, at this early stage, Yusuf alayhi salam has opened up Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, and Tawheed al-Asma'i wa-Sifat. All three of them. As for Rububiyyah, he says, أَأَرْبَابُ مُتَفَرَّقُونَ خَيْرٌ. Are all of these arbab, the rubs, better, or Allah? So right now he's affirmed Rububiyyah is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for Asma'i wa-Sifat, he has said, of the names of Allah, Allah, and Wahid, and Qahhar. And as for Uluhiyyah, he has said, أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ, He has only commanded you to worship Him alone. طيب. So in these simple lines, a few words, he has summarized the three types of tawheed, tawheed al-rububiyyah, tawheed al-uluhiyyah, and tawheed al-asma'i wa-sifat. And this is what our da'wah is about. This is what Islam is. Islam is tawheed, and tawheed is Islam. This is what we call to. أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ, ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ, this indeed is the straight religion, the proper religion. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, but most of mankind do not know. So most people don't know that this is the proper religion. They don't follow this proper religion, but that doesn't change the fact that this is the proper religion. Now he has given them in these, and this is a very, very beautiful two verses here, three verses here. He has summarized everything that these people need to know about Tawheed, about Risala, about Akhirah. This is comprehensive da'wah right here. In these two or three verses, Yusuf alayhi salam has summarized for them what he wanted to tell them. Eloquence. This is the height of eloquence here. He didn't go on for hours and hours because they're not going to be interested in listening. They didn't come to him to hear a long lecture. In less than a minute or two, he has summarized for them the essence of Tawheed. He has summarized for them what they have to believe in. Tawheed, worship Allah alone, deny all of these false deities. They don't make any sense. They don't have any power. By mentioning that Allah is Qahhar, all powerful, he is very subtly saying that everything else that you worship has no power. It is only Allah who has power. Therefore, if only Allah has power, why are you worshipping other than Him? And by mentioning that Allah is Wahid, right? He is mentioning that it is not befitting that Allah has other gods besides Him. He is unique. He is Wahid. He is unique. He is alone. He doesn't have any fathers or brothers or sisters or children or other gods besides Him. He is the one alone. So in these two verses or three verses, once again, you know, we should go back and study these verses and try to use similar comprehensive phrases. Beautiful advice. Look, he didn't attack them. He didn't get them angry. Very simply, he reminded them. There's questions here. أَأَرْبَابُ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ. He's causing them to think. There's statements of facts here. إِنْ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. Okay? There's examples and parables here. أَأَرْبَابُ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ. It's a parable. An example. Are many gods better or the one God? All of these ways of da'wah have been combined. Various usloobs, various ways of giving da'wah. Making them think, making them realize that just because your society is upon this, the rest of the world is not upon this, I am different. And I am following the religion of my forefathers. Making them understand, you know, making them realize that all of this is useless. All of these gods that you worship, these are figments of the imagination. Figments of the imagination that you and your forefathers before you have invented. And there is no reality behind these idols. So the point is, we should ponder over these verses. We don't have time to go into too much detail, but we should ponder over these verses and see the beauty of how Yusuf alayhi salam called them to Tawheed and the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After he finishes his da'wah, in these two or three small ayah, he then tells them why they came to him. Ya sahibay sijin, O my two companions of the prison, amma ahadukuma, as for one of you. And he didn't point out that one, because it is understood by the two dreams which one of them will follow which interpretation, and also because he didn't want to make the one that was about to die feel bad. So he didn't point out and said, you're going to do this and you're going to be killed. He didn't say that. He said, as for one of you, and he left it like that so as not to hurt his feeling too much by pointing him out in this manner, but it is understood which one is being talked about. As for one of you, then he will feed his Lord wine. He will go back and the Lord that he had, the king that he had, the owner that he had, he will give him wine to drink. Okay. And as for the other one, وَأَمَّا الْآخَرِ, again he didn't point out. And as for the other of the two, وَأَمَّا الْآخَرِ فَيُصْلَبُ, he will be crucified. فَتَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْ رَأْسِهِ, so the birds will eat from his head. قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ, the matter which you came to seek advice has been completed. قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. So he's saying this is the interpretation of your dream. Now, in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention the fate of these two people. Did they accept Islam or not? Okay, and nobody, we do not know whether they accepted Islam or not. But Allahu A'lam, one of the benefits we can derive from the fact that their fate has not been mentioned is that it is not our responsibility to make sure that they actually accept Islam or not. It is our responsibility to give them the da'wah to Islam. And this is, in my opinion, one of the fundamental errors that many of the du'at fall into. It becomes their goal to convert someone, which they will do at all costs, by whatever means possible. And they forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَابُ. Upon you is to preach, and upon us is to account. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْ. You will not be able to guide those that you love. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Rather, Allah guides whom He will. Our responsibility is to present Islam as it is. And what occurs when we understand this goal, then we will not feel ourselves, we will realize the dangers of misrepresenting Islam. But when our goal becomes, I have to convert this sin, then what happens is, you say certain things about Islam which are not 100% true. You try to convince him about something which might not be accurate, okay? If he feels something bad about Islam, how come Islam allows slavery? Oh, no, that was in the past, now it's abrogated. You say things which are not correct. Okay? Why? Because your goal has changed now. It's not to present Islam, it's to convert him. And because this goal has changed, you are willing to change certain facts amount, you're willing to be wishy-washy about certain things. But if your goal is clear, look, I have to tell this person about Islam, and I will be rewarded for that. Whether he converts or not, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then inshaAllah, the whole perspective changes. إِنَّمَا عَلَيْكَ الْبَلَاغُ وَعَلَيْنَا الْحِسَانِ. Upon you is to spread the message, the balagh, and upon us is to set the accounting and the reckoning. Allahu A'lam, this is one of the benefits that some of the ulama have derived. Another point here, where did he get the interpretation of these dreams from? Taba'an, the one that said, I see myself pressing wine, I see myself extracting wine. Taba'an, it's obvious that because he saw himself extracting wine, he would go back to his previous job, which means that he would be released and return to his master and continue to feed him wine. As for the other one, then he saw above his head some bread. He was carrying some bread, and the birds were coming and plucking from the bread. So Yusuf alayhi salam understood that the bread was actually the meat of his faith and head. He understood that the bread was symbolic of his faith and his head. So he realized that the only time that a bird will come and eat so casually and easily from the body is that if it has been lying in the open for many days. Because if it was buried, then the bird was not going to come and eat it. And likewise, if it just dies and immediately you go and do ghusl or whatever and you bury it, once again the bird will not come. Only if it's lying and in a high place where the birds come and perch on. So he understood that the only way that this would occur is that if he died a cruel death where they purposely let his body stay in the sun or outside where the birds can come. And the only way that was done is through crucifixion. So he understood that he will be crucified and not be buried for quite a period of time. Therefore, the birds will be able to come and eat from his head. So this is how Yusuf alayhi salam interpreted these two dreams. Then he says, وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِّنْهُمَا. He said to the one who he thought would be saved from amongst the two. The meaning of ظَنَّ here is to know for sure. ظَنَّ but has many meanings to it. It could mean to presume. It could mean you think it will happen. And it could mean you are certain it will happen. Okay, ظَنَّ has many meanings. Over here, ظَنَّ means he was certain. Because he was under no doubt, the interpretation of the dream was true and he knew it. So he said to the one whom he knew would be saved of the two. In other words, the one that would feed his Lord wine. وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِّنْهُمَا اُذْكُرْنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. Mention me to your Lord. Mention me to the king. فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ. So Shaytan made this man, the one that was pouring wine, forget, Shaytan I mean, forget to mention Yusuf to the king. فَلَبِتَ فِي السِّجْنِ بِضْعَ سَنِينَ. Because of this forgetting, because the person forgot, Yusuf stayed in prison a number of years. So here, we find one of the benefits of this is that one of the main plots of Shaytan is he causes people to forget. One of the main ways that Shaytan tries to do something, one of the plots of Shaytan is that he tries to cause people to forget something important. Because Allah says, فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaytan caused him to forget. And likewise, there's another verse in the Quran where Musa's fata, yani the servant of Musa, the child or the young lad that came with Musa in the Surah Al-Kahf, right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa to go and meet Khidr or Khidr and study from him and learn some things from him, Musa took with him Yusha ibn Nun, who was later to become the prophet after Musa, and he is called the Fata in Surah Al-Kahf. While they were going, the sign of the meeting place was that when the fish, you see the fish in the water, right? You see the whale or the fish in the water, that is where you'll meet Khidr or Khidr. So the child or the fata, the lad, he saw the fish, but he forgot to mention it to Musa, and they kept on walking. And then when they finally stopped, and Musa says, I have indeed been tired, we have been a long day today, immediately the child remembered, I saw the fish back there. So he says, وَمَا أَنْسَانِيهُ إِلَّا شَيْطَانُ أَنْ أَذْكُرَهُ. Once again, and I only forgot because Shaytan caused me to forget to mention it to you. Once again, showing you that one of the plots of Shaytan is that he causes people to forget. And of the mercy of Allah is that when we do forget, we are not held sinful or accountable. Even though Shaytan uses it as a plot, of the mercy of Allah is that when we do forget, genuinely we forget something, we are not held sinful or accountable. Therefore, for example, if it is a time for prayer and we become busy and something, and we really forget that it is a time for prayer, and the time for prayer finishes, As soon as you remember, we should pray that prayer again, and we don't have any other penalty upon us, nor is there any sin upon us. طيب. How many years did he remain in prison? Because it says he stayed in prison بِضْعَ سِنِينَ. The word بِضْعَ is anywhere from 3 to 9. And according to most of the ulama of history and of tafsir, Yusuf alayhi salam stayed in the prison for 7 years. But again, this is not something in the Quran and Sunnah. It's just something that the ulama say based upon the historical account. So, you know, you don't have to believe in it. It is not something a part of our aqidah. But most of the ulama say that it was he stayed there for 7 years. Now look at the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Had Yusuf been released now, he would not have reached the position that Allah had planned for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His wisdom and from His infinite plan, His infinite wisdom, He caused Yusuf to stay in prison until the opportunity presented itself that would be perfect for Yusuf. When the king himself sees a dream, and when no one else can respond to it except Yusuf, so Yusuf automatically gets a very high status. Had he been released right now, then he would have just gone back to his normal job then, or whatever, he would have still been a slave, or he would not have been raised to a high position. So it is possible that something happens to you and you do not realize the benefits that will occur. Here, Yusuf could have been released very early on, perhaps a few months after his jail time. But no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that there is something greater in store for him. So He let him stay in prison 7 years. So anytime some problem, some affliction occurs to us, realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more merciful to us than our mothers are. Therefore, He has something better planned for us, even though we might not see it. Yes, there might be some temporary hardship, but as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Verily, with ease, with difficulty comes ease. With difficulty comes ease. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that إِنَّ الْفَرْجَ مَعَ الْكَرْبِ, that the victory will only come after there has been some difficulty. Okay? وَإِنَّ النَّصْرَ مَعَ الصَّبَرِ, and that the help will only come after patience. So only after you have been in a time that is difficult will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you some victory. And only after you are patient will the reward from Allah and the help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come. So look at here now, Yusuf alayhi salam. He has been put in jail totally sinless of any crime, not guilty of the smallest thing. And he tries his best to get out, and Allah wills something better for him than this. So He causes him to stay in jail. He causes him to remain there. Why? Because had he been released now, he would not have reached the position he did had he, if he had stayed like he does stay. So the point is that when something bad happens to us, realize that Allah's plan is better than our plan. Allah's knowledge is far more infinite than our knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us and is more merciful to us than our own mothers and fathers are. Therefore, be patient and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at Yusuf alayhi salam. He did not lower his iman in Allah, nor did his optimism and his husna dhan and his tawakkul, anything swerve. No, he realized that Allah's plan is more knowledgeable than his, so he accepted his fate silently and willingly. Another point of benefit here is that it is allowed to ask a human being, a created object, to do something for you as long as it is physically, that he is physically capable of doing it. In other words, you don't ask something supernatural, you ask for something natural. Why? Yusuf alayhi salam asked the person to help me, mention me to your Lord. So once again, the concept of tawakkul in Islam does not mean that you sit back at your house and say, well, if Allah has willed it, it will occur. No, it means you strive your utmost and you do your best to get to the means. You do whatever you possibly can and then you do tawakkul. After you finish all that you have done, after you have burnt out your energies, after you can do nothing more, then you place your tawakkul in Allah, realizing that whatever Allah wills will occur, and whatever Allah does not will not occur. Here is Yusuf alayhi salam, the prophet of Allah. Yet he realizes that tawakkul means you try your best. So he goes and tells a kafir mushrik to go help him and mention him with the king. Because he realizes this is one of the ways that he can use to get out. And the fact that he didn't get out, it doesn't make him to get angry. He accepts, he resigns his fate. This is what tawakkul is. It also shows you it is allowed to ask a created person, a makhluk or a created object for some help if, like we said, it is physically capable to do it. So if you're lifting something heavy, you're allowed to ask, brother, can you come and help me? Okay? And if, especially in the situation where you cannot physically do it yourself, where you are in a situation like Yusuf alayhi salam, he could do nothing else, all of the other roads have been cut off, he must, ask, obviously after Allah, he must ask someone to help him to get out. Because no one knows about his case. The ministers have all decided to throw him into the prison, okay? And obviously, as the owner of Yusuf, they don't really have to say anything. They'll say, our slave has done a crime, throw him into prison. So there's not going to be any trial or anything like that. So he's thrown into prison. So he must go to a higher authority. Taban, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the highest, but after Allah, amongst the creation, he must go to the king himself. Therefore, he asks the person to go to the king and mention my case. Tell him I have been imprisoned wrongfully. So this shows you the proper concept of tawakkul. This is one interpretation of the verse. There is a whole other interpretation of the verse as well. So keep that in mind, and this is the stronger interpretation that I have said. There is a weaker interpretation, so just understand this. وَقَالَ الَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِنْهُ وَاتْكُنِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ Yusuf says to the one that will be saved, the one that will serve the wine, mention me to your Lord. Okay? So, Yusuf tells the person that will be saved, mention me to your Lord. So far it's the same. The next, from here now, the interpretation changes. فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ ذِكْرَ رَبِّهِ Shaytan made Yusuf forget to mention his Lord. You see the first interpretation? Shaytan made that person, the person who was pouring the wine, forget to mention Yusuf to his Lord, i.e. the king. The second interpretation, the pronouns are changed. Shaytan made Yusuf forget to mention his Lord. How? By asking this person for help instead of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of this, فَلَبِثَ فِي سِجْنِي بِضْعَ سِنِينَ Allah punished him by allowing him to stay in prison for a number of years. So there's two different interpretations of this verse here. The first one is that the person who pours the wine, Shaytan caused him to forget to mention Yusuf to the king. Therefore, because of this man forgetting, Yusuf stayed in prison for a number of years, and this is the stronger interpretation by context and also by the story and also by the knowledge of our aqidah. Some of the ulama, and they are not a few in number, they claim that, no, the actual meaning of this verse is, because Yusuf asked this person to help him, Shaytan then made Yusuf forget to call Allah for help. Rather, he asked this person for help, and because of this, Allah punished him by putting him in prison for a number of years. However, this is not the proper interpretation, and Allah knows best. Rather, Yusuf could not have forgotten Allah. It is not befitting that the Prophet of Allah forgets Allah in this type of manner. But Yusuf remembered Allah, and he also tried his best to get out of the prison by asking the creator, the human beings to help him get out of the prison. And also, the fact that the word nisyan is mentioned here, that he forgot. And then, in the next few verses, when it comes back to the wine pour, Allah says, فَدَّكَرَ He remembered. Okay? So the wine pour, the one who made the wine, he was the one that remembered, meaning he was the one that forgot. Okay? So Allah knows best, but it's pretty clear that the proper interpretation, the clear interpretation is that the one who forgot was the wine bearer, and Yusuf did not do any crime or any sin by asking the person to help him. Tayyib, with that we'll recite the next... someone else in the front.
I just want to make some announcements quickly, inshallah. The first one is that we're going to be breaking at 1:15 for lunch. It's going to be served downstairs. But I request the brothers not to go downstairs as of yet until the time, because the sisters down there as well. Also, be looking around. Some brothers up here got food and drink. We're not allowed to eat or drink over here. So could you just please close the water up and go outside the hall if you want to eat or drink. Also, it's been pretty good so far, but could brothers make sure that their mobile phones are switched off, because it causes interruption halfway through. And generally for the brothers and sisters, both, to make sure that they keep the place as tidy as possible. Barakallahu fiik.